Good morning, everyone. It's about 9 o'clock in the morning here on Thursday morning, the 30th of March, Thursday morning. Yes, I do remember very clearly when I was asked to do something that went against my conscience in the workplace. I never will forget it. I never will forget the response of my supervisor and how that I ended up getting terminated from my job because of my refusal to follow her directive. And my, how the homosexual agenda has intensified the last 27 years since this happened. Look at it today. So you could say, well, Larry, your pushing back didn't result in anything. Well, it did postpone the state of Missouri from licensing homosexual foster parents for a while. Now, I don't know what they're doing now. By the way, I want to applaud the current attorney general in the state of Missouri, Mr. Bailey, for pushing back against all these crazy transgender surgeries on minors as child abuse. I applaud you, Attorney General Bailey. I'm going to turn this over to Mark, and he's going to be reading the fourth and fifth chapters of the book, Phillips versus the State of Missouri. Just bear with us as we read through this book, the story of this case. I think you'll find it somewhat compelling. There's a total of 23 chapters in this book, and we'll be through chapter 5 after today. Chapters 4 and 5, here you go.
Chapter 4, the battle lines are drawn. Chapter 4, the battle lines are drawn between God and Satan. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Ephesians 6:10. How should a Christian respond when they know they're being asked to do something that only goes against their conscience, but the clearly revealed Word of God? Christians should be obvious to all who are in the family of God, right? Sometimes our response doesn't always line up with our convictions. The Bible tells us when we do something that we know is wrong, and then to us that becomes sin. It's getting ready to face tremendous temptation that if I gave into it, would probably secure my career, but if I resist this thing, it would probably bring my career down and possibly destroy me financially as well. Today, as if it were today, I was sitting at my desk typing up a home study for some new foster parents who were soon going to be reproved. A co-worker who was new in the agency often came to me for advice and suggestions. She approached my desk and asked if I had a minute. I said yes, and then I noticed that she was visibly upset. She asked, what is your position about licensing homosexual couples? Asked her, why was she asking me this? She stated that she had been direct to license a lesbian couple without even going through a standard background check, etc. and was struggling with the matter. I never encountered this before. I'm surprised this was being asked of her. I stated that it was my understanding that the state's position was not to license those long-term lifestyles, i.e. meaning gays and lesbians. I also asked that if I were correct to do so, I could not for two reasons. The principle, first, state sodomy is perfectly legal in the state of Missouri. This would be endorsing legal activity. And second, this was a personal faith-based religious issue. I could not do so, for doing so would result in my conscience being bound. My co-worker went on to say that she was afraid of retribution. She didn't follow our supervisor's directive. She stated that there were two lesbians living together in the home, and she wondered how a staff in the situation would turn out. The couple were staffed at one of our routine staff meetings. Typically, what we would do is have a group of five or six social workers listen to a home study on prospective foster parent and voice their concerns positively and negatively on the viability of respective foster parent for licensure. Her concern was that I might voice my objectives to the licensure of these foster parents since she knew that I was a Christian and would take a position based on my religious beliefs. After having this conversion with this coworker, I found myself in about 15 minutes seated in the office of my immediate supervisor. The subject came up about licensing those for gay and lesbian, who were gay and lesbian. I indicated to my supervisor that I would go out and do the assessments and home stays on these candidates, but I could not endorse them as foster parents or place children in their homes. My supervisor became furious. She stated, as a state employee, I would be asked to do many things, but do. It would go against my personal beliefs. This was part of my job function. If you open mind as a social worker, she also indicated that I would follow her directives, and if I did not, I would be considered insubordinate. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I asked her if conscientious objectors were considered insubordinate. Following the dictates of her conscience made her even more upset. As a result, within about 30 minutes, I found myself in the supervisor's office. The lady next to the chain of command stated it has been brought to my attention your religious beliefs for getting in the way of your doing your job effectively. Couldn't believe what I was hearing. These were the same two supervisors who recommended me for a state paid master's program. I took several deep breaths and reiterated what I had already told my immediate supervisor. We have to do the home studies and assessments on homosexual candidates for foster parenting licensing, but I could not endorse them for supervisor fostering or place children with them. Second supervisor up the chain of command and asked if I had thought about seeking another career. I went home that evening knowing my career was in immediate jeopardy. I have never considered myself a political animal. In fact, I had always been somewhat passive concerning my political beliefs up to this point. My philosophy had been to live and let live. I did not condone homosexual lifestyle by any means, but my philosophy had been it was those people's business what they did. Privacy of homes. My line drawing came when I was directed as a part of my job functions to do something that went contrary to law and my personal health beliefs. I often thought of the verse in Matthew 18:6, "Whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it would better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he would drown in the depth of the sea." Chapter 5, the push to support the homosexual agenda. "But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it would better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he would drown in the depth of the sea." Matthew 6:5. About 3 days later, I found myself on the 5th floor of the state office building, the same floor where our governor has an office. From the office, the deputy coordinator of the Division of Family Service for the state of Missouri. Here I was, a lowly social worker, being questioned by the deputy coordinator for the whole state of Missouri. It sounded like a broken record. Had I considered seeking another career? Why was I having such a tough time honoring my supervisor's decisions? I asked the deputy of the state of Missouri had positioned a license of homosexuals. She merely waffled and stated that he would need to do what was best for the agency at large. I left the meeting feeling beat up emotionally and spiritually. I had no idea the spiritual warfare I was soon to be subjected to. After this point, my supervisors and I had a good working relationship. I could do nothing to please them. All my home studies were returned. The social workers in my unit got a memo that there would be no more staff group staff meetings of foster parents, and that they would all be done on an individual basis, licensing social workers and supervisors individually. Almost all my work is now being returned and picked apart in the most incremental way. I still couldn't believe this was happening. Now I understood what the Apostle Paul meant when he said, "All that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." While I was being prepared for battle number 4, my coworker had just gotten back from training for new employees. She handed me a brochure that she had received in training. I was shocked. This was a brochure that was be handed out to foster children and was given to her by the same homosexual supervisor in charge of child abuse. Lecter had made the comment to me earlier about the pedophile conference taking a 2-year-old foster child I was having a problem finding a home for. The brochure was pornographic. On the front of the brochure, big letters of message, clear. Don't F up. The brochure stated that sex would mean men with men, women with women, and men with women. All forms were okay. It also showed in graphic frontal nudity how to use a condom. It said this is what they won't teach in school. My co-worker said this was part of the AIDS awareness campaign for the foster kids. I now realize this was a state-sponsored recruiting and foster showing homosexual lifestyle. Immediately realized that I must have been placed in this position for the reason of fighting against this evil onslaught. Instead of remaining quiet, I typed 2 memorandums to management. One was a CS-77 form getting the state's form position. The licensure of those to alter lifestyles, the agent's policy. The other memo that I drafted was a statement that I found the Don't F Up brochure tremendously offensive to myself and alone to be handed out to foster children. I began to learn that several of the social workers in my floor were out of the closet homosexuals. In fact, the desk where I sat used to be occupied by homosexuals, soon to be leaving the agency for promotion. I didn't know what he was a homosexual when I invited to his going away party. Another male social worker has offered to drive me and 2 other social workers to the state-sponsored function. I agreed to go with him, only later to find out they were all homosexuals, 2 males and 1 female. How did I find out? On the way back to the state building, they stopped my homosexual bookstore to pick up some material. What an embarrassment for a child of God. The same supervisor who put out this brochure was a member of ACT UP, a radical homosexual group. Found out that I had written a memo opposing the brochure and started a long battle of retaliation against me. To show you how off the wall he was, much earlier in his life, he had gotten angry with the city council of Kansas City because of his supposed apathy regarding AIDS education. He thought it upon himself to take what he said was AIDS-10 blood and threw it on the council chambers of finance against them. Began to find all of this information, and I now realize why I had been asked earlier by a Christian social worker, what are you doing working down here? I was struggling now for my daily survival. A very hostile work environment. The same supervisor had a large poster outside his office entitled What Causes Heterosexuality. Another homosexual co-worker had a cartoon up over his desk praising those who were coming out of the closet. I now found myself in culture and diversity trainings, which taught the supposed benefits of homosexual lifestyle in intimate detail. This was mandated training for all state employees. I also found myself in trainings that were seeking to refine the man family as a man and a woman. A woman and a woman, or a man and a man, woman. I realized I needed not only the help of an all-powerful God, but also the help of my church. I was an ordained deacon in a small local Baptist church in Kansas City. I took the brochure to my pastor, and he at first thought it was some kind of sick joke. When he realized the vision of family services was passing this out, he became outraged and called his local congresswoman. It resulted in the meeting with her and my pastor. What I didn't know was that this would soon result in making not only local headlines in the Kansas City Star, but would find its way into national media. I'll never forget the call I got from the congresswoman whom I mentioned earlier, who was so very supportive of me through the ordeal that I was going through. The congresswoman informed me that she had called me and 4 state congressmen and herself the deputy state coordinator. The purpose of the meeting was to hold the state of Missouri Division of Family Services responsible not only for the pornographic brochure being distributed by the division, but also apparent attempt by leaders of the division to license homosexual foster parents. I was amazed to find myself in a meeting with these leaders of the state of Missouri. The deputy coordinator was very elusive and assured the congresspersons that the brochure would not continue to be distributed and that the state of Missouri Division of Family Services were not taking a position of licensing those in alternative lifestyles. Congresspersons asked specifically if response to my CS-77 policy clarification request regarding licensing or homosexuals foster parents. She promised to get a response back to them and me. My son was now 16 years old. He had been working part-time at the local Burger King. I came home one evening and he seemed very distraught. Said, "Dad, we have to talk." He then proceeded to tell me that he was experiencing continuing clicking sensations in his head. I took him to the local emergency room, and after much testing, it was discovered that my son had a very rare brain disease. Within 30 days from this time, my son was in a total debilitated state.
Thank you, Mark, for sharing that with us. And sometimes we're asked to go through things that we never dreamed we would have to go through. And this book is describing one of those, or two of those occurrences, the situation with my son and the situation with my job. I hope you all have a good day, and we'll continue in chapter 6 and 7 tomorrow. God bless.